And up next, Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz joins us as we talk about all her work, including intuition. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz with us, 2 doctorate degrees, 25 plus years experience as a practicing medical intuitive. Dr. Mona Lisa is one of those rare people who can cross the border of science, medicine, and mysticism, combining the best of Western scientific tradition with energy medicine, which is going to be the medicine of the future. One of the many joys in her life is teaching healthcare professionals and others how to acknowledge and develop their own intuitive skills. Here she is back on Coast to Coast, Mona Lisa Schultz. Doctor, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me back. It's wonderful. It's a great treat.
My pleasure. You. How was your 4th of July weekend so far?
You know what? I'm doing good. It was nice. I laid out in the sun.
You know, it throws everybody off because tomorrow's a holiday. They all come back to work on Tuesday thinking it's Monday, and then the weekend hits. But for us, we're always on. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, I'm actually always on, too, beside the point, but yes.
There is a difference between being an intuitive and being a medical intuitive. What's the difference, in your opinion?
Well, you know, intuition is in all of our right brains. If we can't speak it with our left, it goes into our body and it becomes medically intuitive. It talks to us through our health. Medical intuition is intuition that speaks to you through your health. But we have intuition that speaks to us through everything, whether it's vision, clairvoyance, body feelings, clairsentience, sounds, clairaudience, clairvoyance, any type of smell, clairsmell, clairtaste. You have actually 10 sense, 5 on earth and 5 intuitive sense. But medical intuition is just one type of intuition. It's intuition that comes to you through your health.
Now, you know, when we talk about our gut feelings, is that somewhat related or is that, again, different?
That's one branch of medical intuition. It's intuition that comes to you through your digestion. So that means that if you have a tendency toward digestive problems, you're a gut reactor. And a lot of people have gut hunches because intuition is very easily wired through your gut. But you could have it through your bones. Granny Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies felt it in her bones when Jethro was messing up. Yeah. Someone else could feel it in their heart. I feel it in my heart when you suffer. So it depends on where you're wired for medical intuition, where it's prominent.
Well, so true. You know, in the early days, if you had intuition and you began to tell people about it, they'd call you a witch. They'd burn you at the stake, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's true. If you talked about it, if you didn't talk about it, you get sick. So we are teaching people how to talk about it in a way that's situationally appropriate. If you get a sense that you have a health problem, depending on who you're around, you don't say, I have an intuitive feeling. A doctor doesn't believe in it. You just say, you know what? I get a sense that this is an area you need to explore. Can you do some tests here? You don't have to shove it down someone's throat, something that they don't understand. You can put it in words that they understand. Intuition has always been wired within our brain and our body. The trick is to explain it to people in a way that they are able to understand. And I think that's what's great about this show is I'm listening to the commercials. You got Rosetta Stone, which teaches people different languages.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all kinds of different people who listen to this show. And intuition speaks to all types of different people.
And are we glad that we've got the ability to do all these forms of intuition? Because you don't have to be a medical practitioner to have medical intuition, do you?
No, if you've got a body, you have medical intuition. Because
that's right.
If you have symptoms of anything, your body's telling you intuitively that something in your life needs to be addressed. So if you chronically get sore throats, you need to ask yourself, what is my immune system telling me of how I don't feel safe and secure where I am? If your hormones are constantly out of whack, you have to ask yourself, what is this telling me about the instability of my relationship and so on? So you have to look at the intuition underlying the suffering.
When you work with practitioners about this, how do you even start it with someone who maybe doesn't have any idea what you're talking about, doesn't have any experience with this at all? How do you start this with them?
I always feel like Julia Child, you know, you start in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I draw a brain and I draw a body and I draw the connections. And I think you can't really argue with science. I think that the head, she is connected to the body. The blood goes all over. And people understand cortisol and the stress response. So if you can talk about it in light of that, you can say, okay, when we say we understand stress rises the blood pressure, what kind of stress are we talking about? Because when you send somebody home and say, lower your stress, lower what? What do I lower? Tell me what to lower and I'll do it.
Yeah.
When you say, well, you know, all that yelling that goes on in your house, you could lower that. Because that, in medical intuition fourth center, is emotional expression. If you learn how to lower hostility, yelling, your blood will not boil over. And they'll get it because they know it. They can feel their blood pressure go up when they yell.
Well, is that why they say stress kills?
Yeah, actually, it does.
It does. I know. It makes you very unhealthy.
Right. So you have to learn how to listen to what type of stress, which is stress is another way for saying the message, the intuitive message behind what's going on in your life.
Have you found that medical intuition is intuition of the present, but that intuition that's in all of us, you can basically foresee the future?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, I struggle with this. I have a colleague, Laura Day, who always does these kind of readings. I have this spiritual bent. I was raised Catholic, and I'm reading the Torah. So between that, I've got it covered.
That's right, just in case, right?
And I'm learning Hebrew because I think that that's the initial language. I think that we create our future daily with a higher power. And I think that that's pretty much also takes in all the 12-step people now, doesn't it?
It should.
Right. So I think that, yes, a good intuitive, and that means you, can get a feeling of what's going to happen in the future. But you can, in partnership with your higher power, and if you call it God, so be it, can change it in a dime by praying or doing whatever you want. That's my belief. That's just the way it is, because I believe in potential of change. So I really don't think that anybody can 100% tell you what's going to happen in your future, because your connection with a higher power could change it in a dime. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course. Of course.
But other people argue. I don't do that branch of intuition because of my faith tells me otherwise. I just don't get involved with predictions just because I don't like to mess in a person's relationship with a higher power. I leave.
But you could if you wanted to.
I don't, because I don't like to. I think it's between them and their higher power what happens to them.
Interesting.
As I would say, God forbid.
Yeah.
Wrong with that. I just don't like to do that. You know what? I just like to stick into how do I help a person listen to their body about what their body's trying to tell them, about what they need to do to be a better person in the world. And to create a better world.
Why are so many people, Dr. Schultz, in denial when they have that intuition, that medical intuition? They don't want to accept it. They may know that they might have a heart problem, or they may have some infection, or something's wrong with them. Their intuition's telling them this, but they don't want to accept it. How come?
Because, you know, we all have, when we're born, we don't have that censoring. When we're born, we're like a temporal lobe on a stick. We want something, we want it. We don't censor it. I want the candy bar. I want that. And then you just scream. But as you get older, you add a frontal lobe. The frontal lobe is a sensor. It's a mute button. it censors what you want depending on what you think your relationship wants, what society wants, what will keep the job. Three things: the relationship, society, the job, so you don't get arrested, or how to be cool. Cool is real important in high school. And so you start to censor your intuition, or you would say your gut sense, so that you can fit in to the relationship, society, or the job. Maintain all of those. Keep things the same. Keep sure. things the same. Keep things the same. I don't want change. I don't want change. I don't want change. So we censor our intuition so we keep the job the same, keep the relationships the same, so we don't we look cool, we don't get arrested. And so we are change-resistant people. And intuition heralds change. You know what? I think that it's time to grow. Bernie Siegel said that cancer is nature's reset button, that it heralds change, that a tumor, a growth, is a metaphor for growth. And so you have to look at what your illness is asking you to change. There's a wonderful movie, Twister. I love this movie because I always use movies as a form of intuition. They're on this road, and they're following a tornado.
Right.
And, you know, the tornado throws a cow at them. Then undeterred. The tornado throws a 18-wheeler on fire. They're undeterred. You know, all this house. And then finally the lady says, gee, do you think we should get off this road? In other words, a lot of times you stay on the same road in your life despite message after message you should change this relationship, this job, because you don't want to listen to it, because you don't like to change, because we want to stay the same. And that's the reason why we censor our intuition.
Because how many people, Dr. Schultz, how many people have said, after the fact, I knew it. I knew it. I should have done this. I knew it. And they just don't. It's there. It's there in black and white.
Right, because you knew, because your intuition is there. You just kind of knew it. A lot of people play games. They say, you know what? I got a feeling that on these two highways today, this one is backed up. So I should take this one. And you're like, no, that one's longer.
Uh-huh.
It will add time. And I don't want to add time. It's inconvenient. So I will go the shorter route, even though I have a feeling there's it's a backup. And then, of course, you then sit in hours in that backup. And then you go, the famous, I just knew it. And it's because it's inconvenient.
My intuition works for me all the time, except one thing. All the time, except one thing. And that one thing is when I'm in line for something.
Oh.
If I get out of that line to get into what I think is the shorter one, the other line I got out of always gets there first.
I know. I
have all the time. What am I doing wrong?
Because you know what?
And it's only with that.
I'm going to tell you what it is. It's because your goal that you think it is to get through the line faster, there's something else that you're supposed to be doing in your mind while you're in that line. You know what I call it? I call it spare thinking.
Yeah, just you know, planning other things.
You're supposed to use that time to do something else, but you don't. You're what do they call it? Pressure, time pressure. And that increases type A behavior, which increases
That's
cardiovascular
me.
Disease. So you're supposed to use those mini moments to let parasympathetic response in your heart take in and relax. I'm not like I can do this, but we're not talking about me. So you just sit in line and you breathe. But no, you're like a racehorse, and racehorse mentality has got to get to the front, get to the front, get to the front.
Get
and that is Curb Your Enthusiasm is a very famous one that does that. The guy gets really, I do it too. It's like, but that's when you're supposed to do that. And that's your intuitive guidance system that says, you know what, you better relax.
So your recommendation is stay in that first lane.
Stay and use that. This is the time for spare thinking and to let your heart. You know what, I'll tell you how I did this once. I have trouble with speeding. I do the same thing. And in my graduate years, I was at the brain lab, the PhD, and I was trying to get to the other side of the campus. And it was insane because it's 1:28 in Boston and it's rush hour. So, of course, I'm speeding. So a cop pulls me over to the side of the road. is, you know how they walk really slow to the car?
Well, they're checking things out.
Yeah, I know, but they're walking really slow. And then he says, license and registration, ma'am, so I give it to him. But I'm being very polite. And then he starts to walk away very slowly. I said, excuse me, sir? And he goes, yes. I said, excuse me, could you please hurry up?
Oh, that's like telling him, write the ticket and let me go.
He looks at me and he goes, what? And I said, I wouldn't have been speeding if I wasn't in a hurry. He looked at me and he actually laughed. He says, lady, you've got to calm down. Because he knew I was completely wound up.
Yep.
That's my point, is you're too wound up. And wound up goes right to the cardiovascular system.
If I were him, I would have slowed down twice as slow just to drive
you
nuts.
I couldn't help it. I was wound up. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. But that's good advice. I'm going to try that next time. I'm going to stay in the lane I'm in.
But you understand, I can relate. I get wound up.
Yep. And it is. And I guess part of it to me is a game too, Mona Lisa, because, you know, I'd like to predict that, hey, this other line's going to move quickly.
Oh, I see.
It's a good move, and it just for that purpose in life, it just doesn't work for me.
You know what? I think there's a, and I don't like to use the word higher or lower. Is a better use for intuition?
Yeah, I agree.
Than that,
I agree.
Because you actually when it works reverse every single time, it's like a wink from the universe that says, "Stop this! Don't do this." Reverse intuition, because it's actually working statistically every single time against you, so you know you're not supposed to be doing that.
Well, I'm talking to a national audience for 8 minutes about me getting in and out of a certain line. That's sick, isn't it?
No, but you understand what I'm saying? If you are intuiting exactly the opposite every single time, then there's a reason why you're doing that. Your intuition is telling you, stay in the wrong lane.
Which, in retrospect, is the right lane.
That's it. My point is that your intuition is correct because you are choosing the wrong one every single time.
Yep.
It is against what we would call coincidence. My point exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about your emotional centers. Spend some time. Tell us about these points.
I want you to think of your body as like the dashboard on your car with the warning lights. If you think of your car like a dashboard with warning lights, it's easy. Because when a warning light goes on in your car, you really want to stop and look and find out why that light go on. I better pay attention because the car could stop and something could break. Same thing with your body. You have 7 warning lights. When a light goes on in your body with symptoms of illness, you have to figure out why that light went on. The first light is your immune system, bones and joints and skin. When you get symptoms in that area, when that light goes on, it tells you there's something wrong, something needs to be attended to in your family. Doesn't feel safe, secure. Something is up. Second light goes on. This is your lower back, uterus, ovaries, reproductive system. When there's problems there, this usually signals you have problems with money or love.
Huh.
Third light goes on, really easy. Digestion, weight. This, when that area signals a problem, you have problems with work and balancing yourself with self-esteem. In the middle of the board, right middle of the heart of the area, this is lines, competition. This is the heart of the matter, heart, breath, and lungs. When this light goes on, this tells you having handling emotions, just plain your feelings, and while being in partnership with other people in life.
Let's get into some of the other ones when we come right back. Well, for a little less than 25 cents a day, you can become a Coast Insider and get special privileges of downloading and podcasting and video chats and regular chats as well, and just some fun. Just simply go to coasttocoastam.com. And when we come right back, more on intuition with Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we are back with you on Coast to Coast with Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz, and we were talking about these emotional centers. Let's get right back to it. I think the last one we're talking about is near the heart and the breastbone. Go ahead, Mona Lisa.
And then the fifth light on your emergency dashboard is having a voice. And when your thyroid, your neck, your throat gives you trouble, this area signals that you're having trouble with communication. And on your intuitive warning dashboard, when you have problems with your brain, your eyes, or your ears, this area signals that you're having trouble with how you see the world and how you think. And then finally, the last light on your warning signal, symptom, has to do with life-threatening problems. This has to do with that your purpose in life needs to be attended to. Not only that, but when this signal goes off, it also makes you reevaluate how you have or do not have a relationship with a spiritual life. And now, those are the seven warning lights on your intuitive dashboard.
Now, when these lights go off, how do you know they're going off?
You get symptoms in your body of distress, whether it's first one is rashes, second one, lower back pain, third is weight gain, fourth is heart palpitations, fifth is sore throat, sixth is headaches, seventh is a life-threatening illness. All seven of them can give you symptoms of illness.
Okay. You know what? And then how do you address it once these things are occurring?
Well, you get the symptoms and you go to a physician and you get a diagnosis. You go to a practitioner, you get a diagnosis, but then you're left to find out what is the meaning behind it. What is your body signaling you have to change?
And does the practitioner generally pick up on this? I mean, let's assume all this is happening and you go to them and say, you know, I think there's something wrong with my heart. 9 out of 10 times, I'm assuming something's going to show up, isn't it?
If you continue, this is a perfect example. A woman called me recently for a reading. And she's in a difficult marriage.
Okay.
And she has digestive problem after digestive problem after digestive problem. She goes to her internal medicine doctor who sends her to a gastroenterologist. They scope her, you know, the endoscopy from above and the colonoscopy from below. Either way, it's going to be a scope of some kind. And they don't see anything. But it doesn't mean that everyone doesn't see her going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Everyone knows she's got a problem. And it's because she works for her husband, who she's going through a divorce with. Hello?
Yep.
So everyone knows what the stressor is, and everyone sees how it results. She's running to the bathroom. And she says to me, you know, it's like preventing me from going to work. I said, hello? Exactly. Don't work with your husband who you're going through a divorce with.
So what did she do? Did she find a different
job? She said, but I have to. I said, no, you don't. That's your problem.
She felt
trapped. Your body's telling you, you can't. And she said, but I don't know how to say no. I said, that's the next step. You would need to learn how to say no to your husband, which is the reason why you're going through a divorce in the first place. But your body knows how to say no. It pulls you out of the office by going to the bathroom. In fact, that's the only way that you can say no. Is the only sanctioned way you can say no is going to the bathroom. She got it. So I gave her some tools, some cognitive behavioral tools, which is somebody she can go to learn dialectic behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, on how to have a voice and have a say. So she can say, I don't want to go to work anymore. I think you're important to me, but I simply can't. That's it. But she's never had bowel problems before.
Do some people pick up on this ability better than others?
Well, you know, I have an intuition academy, and I teach people from all walks of life, whether it's, you know, nurses, physicians, body workers, anybody can learn this. Basically, what you do is you find out how a person's uniquely wired for intuition. Are they right-handed, left-handed, visual, body sense, and you teach them the intuition centers, but then you run them through a bunch of readings, and you teach them how to do readings. But you teach them how readings are done in their own body.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not hard to do. And in fact, people are amazed when they actually can do it.
Well, I'm wondering too, how long does it generally take to teach someone how to do this? Weeks, days, how long?
It to get them to do the phenomena, to demonstrate a reading, about 3 days.
That's
to get them to do it proficiently, it takes a very long time. But to get someone to be able to, with the name and the age of someone, this is what I do on the phone, with the name and the age of someone, after you sign a consent form that acknowledges we're not having a physician-patient relationship, I teach them, I describe a specific emotional situation in someone's life that I see aggravates their health. And then, knowing only their name and their age, and remember now, they sign a consent form that this is not going to give them a diagnosis, they're not going to get prescribed treatment, this is medical intuition.
Okay.
I describe their physical body. Head, eyes, ears, neck, thyroid, heart, breast, lungs, every organ system in the form of symptoms. And the way that I see it are various symptoms in their body, like that dashboard warning light, are part of their body's intuitive guidance system that let them know that something in their emotional life is out of balance. I give them a host of solutions that they can go back to their physician on how to fix the problem. In the Intuition Academy, I teach people with a name and the age how their body's wired. So the first day, they just get the name and the age of someone, and they don't even see the person. And they get visions, sights, sounds. They put it on a piece of paper. They draw what they see. They put it down. And I show through the misses, the hits, how their intuition is wired. I'll give you an example.
Sure.
I used to do a dead person first.
What
so
do you
I
mean?
Used to put, believe me, because it's not hard to get the consent of someone to read who's dead. So I used to put a picture of Elvis Presley in an envelope. And I'd say, who's there? Who's in the envelope? Tell me. And I'd say, don't guess. Once you guess, you're not in the right brain. You're in the left brain if you say President Bush, because you've got a name. That's it. You can't do anything. So people would say, white. I see white outfit. And the picture of Elvis Presley was in a white jumpsuit.
Okay.
So it's like they see something. And so you get them to hone in on more and more details because the right brain is a gestalt. It's the overall. But someone else would say Southern accent.
Well, it sounds almost like remote viewing, too, is it?
That's exactly right. They're doing remote viewing. But then you'd have them go through the emotional centers and start to do the person's health. Someone would say overdose. Another person would say lonely. Someone else said blue shoes. I mean, it would be remarkable how people would get pieces. But what you do is you take all the pieces of everyone in the room and you get a complete reading. Blue shoes, overdose. Someone would say, I see two pictures, one image and then another. It's like their body changed. And it was like there was the old Elvis and then the new Elvis.
Right.
It was like heavy Elvis. But then, so that's a dead person who's got a big energy because Elvis is obviously the king. But then, you know, there was the woman that I did, one of my school teachers, we'll say Mary Brown.
That nobody knew.
So I put Mary Brown 48 on the board. So there was this lady in the front row, and these are the prototypical people that you just think that you're never going to be able to teach how to do readings because they look like these left brain Poindexter people.
Right, and they don't know how to flip it over.
She has like the hair all curled in line. Her, you know, she's got the spiral bound book with all the tabs.
I thought I was the only one who knew who Poindexter was.
Well, you know what I'm saying. And so she's sitting in the front row, and she's got, like, the green belt with the green purse, and it's like, oh, my God, how am I going to ever teach this obsessive, perfectionistic, left brain on a stick kind of person? So during the weekend, everybody got a piece of the intuitive reading of everything, except this poor lady with the tabs. And so the last reading of the week is Mary Brown, my school teacher. But I didn't say that. I just said Mary Brown. And I said, just tell me what you pick from up from this person. And if you have problems doing the reading, meet me in the back of the room. So this lady meets me at the back of the room, and she's very upset because she's the only person in the room who hasn't been able to do it at all. And everyone wants to find out what's going to happen because, they, you know, it's two women in the back of the room. It's cat fight.
Sure.
So everyone meets us in the back of the room to find out what's going to happen, how I'm going to handle it. She says, I can't do the reading. I said, yes, you can. She says, no, I can't. I said, yes, you can. I said, tell me what you got. She said, all I got was that it was your school teacher. When you told us it was your school teacher, I can't get that out of my head. I said, I never said it was my school teacher. She said, yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. We're sitting there fighting. And I look at people in the room. I said, did I say that? And they said, no, I didn't. She heard it in her head.
That's amazing.
I said, every time you hear something in your head now, you have no idea whether someone said it or it was clairaudience. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
And think about that every single day. When you walk around, you stand up and you think, I could have a Snickers bar. You have no idea whether that's your Snickers bar or that's someone near you who also thought they would have a Snickers bar. So, in fact, every single day that we walk around, ideas pop into our head. And we have no idea whether they're right ideas or someone else's that we clairaudiently picked up.
Well, that's a good point. Same with those little voices we hear in
our heads. That's exactly my point. Because no one ever stands up and says, hey, how many people just thought right now, this instant, to get a Snickers bar? No one takes a poll. So she looked at me and she said, wow. And just then I said, you just had an intuitive experience. At that moment, I could have sworn that her hair moved, just relaxed just a little bit. And I swear to you, that was one of my, it's the most difficult people that you think you're never going to be able to teach that you teach. Those are the ones that are most enthralling for me. But that's what I do. And so, you know, I have like an institute where people come 3 times a year and, you know, they get better and better and better. But anybody can learn this. And that's why I enjoy teaching it, because, yes, people call me up from all over the world to get readings. That can be very helpful, because when I describe what's going on emotionally in them, and then I describe physically, and I can help them create health in their life, that is very fulfilling. But then they think that, you know, there's something unique in my brain. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I don't have some savant ability. I have a unique brain. And most people who do medical intuition, there's something different about their brain. They usually have epilepsy or migraine headaches, or something's unique about their brain if you do this professionally.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Most professional medical intuitives, there's something unique in your head that makes you more clear. I mean, well, you know, you work in this field. How many people on your show that work in the field of intuition are completely normal?
None of us.
Right. It was none of them. If you look at all the original saints, they all had epilepsy, and they were all medically intuitive. They all had epilepsy.
That's interesting.
They all had intuitive events.
This I'm going to spend a lot of time with you next hour, Mona Lisa, talking about intuition in general, especially, you know, how society views it and what's it used. But for the individual who just wants to do this for two reasons, one, medically, two, just to kind of tune themselves up, what do you recommend they do? Go to your website, go to the programs. What can they do?
Go to my website, www.drmonalisa.com, and there's an array of things that they can learn. There's an array of classes.
How'd you get involved in this?
I'm sorry?
How did you get involved in all this?
You really want to know?
Yes, I do.
Well,
if you could tell us. Is it personal?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you. It's, you know, in the middle of the night, you say, and that's why I realized, I know why he has this radio show in the middle of the night. People say things they wouldn't ordinarily say. They say it in the middle of the night.
I have that ability to pull things out of
people. I always wanted to be a normal person. I always wanted to be this academic person. I always wanted to be a physician and a scientist. And so I did everything I could to get straight A's. And so I got into Brown University, an Ivy League school in Rhode Island.
Good school.
And then my intellect stopped becoming available. I started falling asleep, walking around and falling asleep. I mean, like, so badly once I went running and I, you know, fell asleep while I was running.
Didn't even know where you were.
Huh? Oh, I knew where I was. I had narcolepsy and epilepsy. I just, the switch goes and I fall asleep. So I used to be asleep like 17 hours a day, and there was nothing they could do to wake me up. And so when you have that kind of sleep problem and you fall asleep on a dime, you have to intuit what happened when you fell asleep, when you were out. Because things are constantly, the lights are going out every 5 seconds, and you have to know what happened when your lights were out. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it took me 6 years to get through Brown because those were the narcolepsy years. And I graduated. They found a drug that would work for me. It's Tegretol. It's a wonderful drug. It helped me wake up. So anyone tells you, oh, don't use medicine, it's not natural, it's full of baloney. Medicine has its place.
The right medicine.
Fabulous, the right medicine. Unfortunately, then, of course, my body created a side effect to it, and it started having all kinds of problems. So I had to get off the medicine.
Well, and, see, that's what opponents of medicine
I know,
say.
But I pleaded to stay on that drug. You have no idea. I really did. And the doctor said I felt like flowers for Algernon. I felt like I was getting mentally retarded again.
Those are great.
The doctor said, you learned how to stay awake before on not on meds. You can stay, I mean, but there was no awake. I was out. So I used acupuncture. I used Chinese herbs. I did all kinds of things to stay awake. And someone said, go see a medical intuitive. And I went, okay, yeah. So I went to, so it's like, to me, it was a pet detective.
Sure.
You know, I didn't want to do this.
You were going to make sure they failed, right? You wanted to go.
Yeah, because I mean, this is a bunch of crap. But I'm, you know, you're desperate. What are you going to do? I had nothing. So I put all the money I had in the world in a brown paper bag. I got in the bus, and of course, I slept the entire way to Rhode Island.
Well, that's one good thing about having narcolepsy. You travel,
right?
You're there.
It's like yesterday. It's like 2 seconds. You just tell the bus driver when you need to get off because they all knew me.
I wish I had that between L.A. and St. Louis on a plane flight.
Trust me, you don't want this. I've had people say, well, I don't know.
Just for the plane flight. That's all. That's all I wanted.
So then I get off the bus, and I'm expecting to see this, you know, obese lady with an eye trailing to the side with beads and feathers, you know, some weird lady. And I don't. I see this thin lady with a southern accent. So I said, tell me something about my life. And so she tells me something very specific. It was wild. So she says, your brain freezes, then it thaws, freezes, thaws, freezes, thaws. I'm like, wow. I said, freezes. She said, it's like you freeze. And that's exactly, anybody who's ever seen me with a seizure sees that's exactly what happens. All of a sudden, I freeze. And she says, it's about your intuition. You need to use your intuition. And I'm like, oh, you say that to everybody. This is a bunch of baloney. She says, no, just you. Well, after her, I saw two other people, Portuguese curanderas. A curandera is someone, you know, a healer. They don't know any English. In Fall River, Massachusetts, you go to see this person with a felt hat who puts you in a car, and you see this, and they only speak Portuguese. And through a translator, this is what the guy says. He says, your brain, he says, you have olhos dos dias. He says, you have the eyes that God has given you to see in people's lives, and you have to use this gift, or otherwise your brain is going to continue to do this thing.
Fantastic. Hold on for a second, Mona Lisa. We're going to hit this break and come right back, and we'll talk more about this gift that you have.